This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I'm looking forward to this next week as being warm, as in maybe the 60s.
Yes, that's what they're saying now. I see one day in the 40s towards the beginning of the week, but then it looks like later on we'll get some sun and we'll get some a little bit warmer temperatures, and before you know it, it'll be Easter, and then in the summer, and we'll be hotter than all Dickens.
Man, you sure do go fast. I mean, you're taking us right from this to Easter and summer. And we haven't even got to February. Let me mention that.
Well, that is true. It's only a few days away, though, so it's pretty close.
Okay. And then you're going to go, are you going to go to Valentine or just straight to Easter?
I'd like to go to Easter.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Easter Bunny comes and it gets exciting, and then that means it's
candy.
Springtime.
It's the candy.
It is the candy. Yeah.
I know it is. You love that chocolate candy.
Oh boy, all those Reese's peanut butter shapes and the eggs and the bunnies and eggs.
Oh
and,
yeah.
Ugh, it's all delicious.
It is, and you know that big bunny. You know we've had him come out to our house.
Yeah, that's right. You do. You had the big Easter Bunny come out there and visit.
Yeah,
with the,
he comes out and he visits the children. He dances with them. Sometimes he'll tell stories, and then he goes out and he hunts Easter eggs.
Yeah.
The smart old rabbit.
See, now you're looking forward to Easter, aren't you?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. All of it's fun, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. It looks like hopefully 2019, a lot of people are just saying that this has got a really good vibe for this year. And so hopefully the 2019 is going to be a really great year, not only for like the weather and the seasons and things like that, but also for making money as well. And that's what this is all about. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And you know, one thing that's just amazing is, you know, right there in December, you know, we had that $8 million worth of maturities.
Yeah.
That are now hitting the bank.
Ooh.
The $4 million Davidson policy, it is in the bank, and it will be credited to their account on Tuesday.
Excellent.
And we're getting everybody ready to transfer money. One guy said, well, I'm about to retire. I don't know whether to transfer or not. And I thought, you know, are you not going to need income after you retire? And somebody's missing the boat once in a while when they think, oh, you know, if I have this much money, I'll be okay. But you have to make more money. You can't stop making money just because you retire.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense.
I think a lot of times when we talk about these things, we always talk about, you know, getting ready to retire, making sure you have, you know, at least $1 million in the bank on retirement day, because you got to have that there to live on. But we don't always stress that even after retirement, you still have to be making money. So you have to be in some kind of investment environment, or else you're going to have to go back to work. But you can't just have a set amount in the bank on retirement day and then just start bleeding the account. It doesn't work that way. You have to replenish that.
That's what I'm thinking, that sometimes people forget that, yes, they've had several policies come due in the last 2 months, a lot for some people. I've got one guy, I think, that was in four of them. And, but then, once you retire, if you start using your principal, it's not going to replenish itself. You've got to have the interest coming in. And even if it, you know, I don't understand. If you have $300,000, that's not going to get you anywhere anyway.
Oh, no.
So if you have a less than $1 million, you need that interest working every day.
Yeah, and the easiest way to do that is through an investment, through like a life settlement type of thing. And the reason we say that is because we know that the value of the investment is not going to go down. We know that when you're in Wall Street, things can go willy-nilly and they can go, you know, crazy, and you can lose all kinds of money literally overnight. But with a life settlement, it's a much more safe type of investment. Stable. Yeah, that's a good way to put
stable.
It. More stable.
Because remember, the principal never goes down. That's what's different than the stock market. When you have this, the principal is not going anywhere. You're going to get your principal back. You're going to get your interest back. And we can't do those guarantees in the stock market. We can say, we think you're going to make this. We hope you make this over a period of years. But then, like a month ago, it wiped everybody's profit out for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, when that fell, it fell hard. And a lot of people lost millions. And then they said there was a lot of people lost billions. The big guys really lost billions over that. So it's a big risk.
When we have these quick downturns like that, do you find that that's an event that causes people to re-examine their investment portfolio and maybe think about going to a little bit more of a conservative type of investment like this?
I would certainly think so. Because all of us know that as you get older, you should be conservative. You can be wild in your young days. You can buy Corvettes. You can do all kinds of things. But when you get 50 to 60 years old, you should be getting conservative and saying, I need this much money. I cannot afford to lose it, and I don't want it to go away.
Yeah. Well, you don't have as time goes on, you have less and less recovery time. And so you always say, you know, invest what you can afford to lose, but expect to lose it, because if it does happen, you're going to that hypothetical scenario could become reality and you could lose everything. Then you have to start thinking about, wow, I just wasted the last 3 years of investing. Now I have to start over.
Well, and the really smart people, they say, have taken billions out of the stock market because they don't want to lose it. Even billionaires do not want to lose their money. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They could afford to, but they don't want to. And I was reading the other day where one of the really rich men we have in this country had lost so much, you know, that he was kind of having a crisis about how much he had lost.
So as we look at these things happening and we look at, you know, trends and things that may happen in 2019, when we look at like billionaires taking money out of the stock market, does that send a message of instability and cause other people to panic and then cause more instability?
Well, it doesn't panic me, but it causes me to have a lot of thought. And I go, I'm certainly glad we're not in the stock market. And I'm glad that we're not taking that risk, because in 2008, everybody has forgotten, they've gotten comfortable again, that it took 5 years to get their money back. What if they had been ready to retire on that date? And there were some people, and they're still working. They cannot retire because of that. So, you know, I would rather do it this way than be in the stock market and take that huge risk.
Yeah,
I don't think it has near the risk of the stock market.
Exactly. And you want to be well diversified. I mean, if people are going to leave some in the stock market, that's fine. But there needs to be, I guess, a backup plan for your investment life as well.
You need a backup plan. You need to say, I need this much in conservative investments. And I'll take the risk over here. But why take the risk on 100% of your money when you can have part of it, you know, safe in this investment that is in a life insurance policy? We're not holding your money. It's in a life insurance policy.
And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine probably a majority of your clients, that, you know, people who come in and invest in life settlements, policies and things, I would imagine that at some point they were in the stock market And then they came up with this plan B to, you know, the backup plan was life settlements because it's a little bit more conservative. And so if something does happen on Wall Street, they're not going to lose everything. But now I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine there's several people who have taken that backup plan of life settlements and turned it into plan A.
Yes, we have lots and lots of people this year, in fact, that have done that and have taken their money out of stock market because they don't want to take that risk. I've had several doctors come to us this year and say, Faye, you know, I'm getting ready to retire. I cannot afford that risk now. And a lot of people went back and looked to see what they've made. And they hadn't made that much. And remember, everything they'd made in 18 you know, was wiped out a couple of months ago. Now it's coming back up, but it may go back down again. I mean, it's just, it depends what you can stand. If you can stand the risk, fine. If you can't and you're 50 years old, you know, you should be in safe investments. And a life insurance policy is as safe as I know because these are huge life insurance companies. They're all worth billions and billions and billions, and that's why I think it's safe.
And so what happens, how this ends up being a an investment opportunity is that somebody who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, oftentimes the fastest way to come up with a large chunk of change to do treatments and therapy and things like that, because it's very expensive, the fastest way to come up with that chunk of change is to sell their life insurance policy. And then that's where you come in. And that's how this turns into an investment for people to be a part of.
That's exactly right, because we bid on these life insurance policies. I've been looking at some this week. I bet I've looked at five that are 18 months. A lot of them are really short, and some of them are small policies. You know, lots of times we get big ones, but I've seen all kinds this week. I've seen $200,000, I've seen $100,000, $500,000, and one for $1 million. And they were all very short. Only two of them are 24 months even. And a lot of them were breast cancer this time. I think I looked at a lot that had breast cancer.
Really?
And then I looked at people that had more than one kind of cancer. And I'm always shocked when they've got several different types of cancer. Like if you had liver cancer and then you had lung cancer. You know, completely different types. And I've seen two this week that I looked at, as I said. They had two different types. They didn't have just one type of cancer. They had two.
Wow.
And, you know, they gave them like 15 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they gave them 15 months because they had two different kinds. And they've had one resected, and then about the time they got it resected, they found he had the other kind of cancer.
So when you see a policy like that come across your desk and there's two different types, do you believe that 15 months or do you think it's even sooner than that?
Well, I don't know. I know if you've got two kinds of cancer and they're fighting it for you in two to three different ways, it's going to be hard to make it past that, I think. I think it really will.
All right. And so I think that's probably important to point out here, too, is that we're not talking about just any random life insurance policies that come across your desk. There's a lot that you reject that you don't even bid on because they're garbage as far as what you're doing with them. And it's important to note how laser focused these this whole process is. This is not a type of thing where you see people on TV and they're selling their life insurance policy so they can go travel and do all that other fun stuff. You're looking for very specific types of policies for people to invest in.
That's exactly right. You know, there's a lot of life insurance policies across their desk. Some of them are heart disease. Some of them are just old, and we're not taking those. And sometimes the cancer's in remission. Or it says no progression. If it says no progression, we're sure not going to buy it. And the other thing is, we may call for another opinion on something. If it's something they're really, the brokers are pushing, I'll say, we need another opinion. We're just not sure. And we can call for a second opinion. There's nothing wrong with getting that second opinion.
And so for the policies that you bid on, you're looking for these types of things. You're looking for specific types of cancer. You're looking for progression of the disease. But you're also looking at things that aren't in the report. You're also looking at things that people haven't been doing.
Well, this is true. And we look to see if they're obese. I mean, there's so many things. And we're looking to see that they're not out playing golf.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes in between treatments, a guy might be feeling good enough to do that, but I doubt it. Because, you know, we've been up close and personal lately with some people that have cancer. Mm-hmm. And we know what they're going through. And I know several of them have said this to me. The treatment is worse than the cancer.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Because it makes them so weak and so sick. And when I read all these reports on these people, I think that's why lots of them say, I'm going to hospice.
Mm.
You know,
they just give up and don't want to go through the toll that it takes on your body.
And then we had one this week, the guy went to hospice, came out of hospice, wasn't going to fight it, then decided to fight it. But then he waited so long, now it's impossible. You know, I mean, months before, they were saying, let's do this really aggressive treatment. He opted out. Now he wants to opt back in. And, you know, it's crazy. It's like the people that go to Mexico for breast cancer. You know, it makes it impossible to survive it.
Yeah, and that's those are very important to point out too, because when somebody does, people get desperate. They look for that magic cure that will take care of things. You know, the people always get in that mindset that, hey, if I go over to Finland and try this special melon water, then it'll beat it, because they're trying so hard to beat these cancers. But the fact is that we know the things that work the best. And so when people do water treatments or melon treatments or whatever the case may be, they're not doing the treatments that we know work, like chemo and radiation. And so while they're not doing those, that gives the cancer time to progress, and sometimes it even progresses more rapidly when that happens. And those are the types of policies that you really get your attention.
Well, and this week, one of the policies that I was looking at, they were done one kind of cancer. They thought it was doing good, and they had resected it, which they were able to do. And then they looked back up there after all this, and he's got lung cancer.
Oh.
So, you know, if you get it in one end and then it starts on the other, it's hard to survive it with it in two different places.
Now, we should know,
you're fighting it on two fronts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's almost like burning the candle at both ends.
And we had a case this week, the guy had bladder cancer. And there's no doubt, bladder cancer is a terrible, terrible cancer. And then the guy got prostate cancer. And I said, and that's the one they gave the 15 months to.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was just in so many places floating along, and it got in the lymph nodes.
Mm-mm. Well, so, once it gets there,
it's pretty bad. So when people come to us, they need the cash, we give them a lump sum, then our investors make the difference on the spread. They make the difference between what we paid for it and what the face amount of it is. And they never ask you to discount it. You know, they're going to say, it's just like Davidson. That's a $4 million policy, and they paid it in record time. You know, usually we always tell you it's 6 weeks. It doesn't seem to me like it took 6 weeks on Davidson.
Wow.
First time. Yeah, because this was in, 1st of January when we sent this in. Seems like it was the 6th of January.
Wow, and that's so fast.
It didn't take hardly any time.
Wow. And, you know, obviously as people, we hope that anybody who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, we want them to survive. But the reality is, you know, we all know what the numbers are. We know that survival rates for stage 4 cancer, we know that they're as low as they are. And so what needs to happen is they're looking for this lifeline. Somebody please buy this policy so I at least can go for treatment, at least have some kind of a fighting chance. You know, it gives people hope. So it's important to note that it does help out the policy holder who's diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They're going through enough as it is emotionally, all the things that go through your head, all the things you didn't do, all the things you want to do. How do I beat this? You know, oh my gosh, you know, people's world stops. And so without somebody there to buy that policy and give them that hope, it's almost self-defeating. And so it's a good thing for the policyholder. The cancer itself is not, but the fact that you're there to buy these policies, get them that chunk of change that they need to do the treatments, that is.
That's exactly right. So it gives them the hope that they can go take these treatments, they may survive, or it may just prolong their life. Lots of times that's all it does. When stage four, they're just trying really to prolong their life. They don't know if they can cure it or if they can, you know, set it back a ways. Mm-hmm. They don't know. But I know that the ones that we've had this year, look at how many matured just in December.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot in December. And back in the summer, you know, we had a lot. I think we had, 13 back in the summer. So overall, it was a lot of policies that matured this year.
And the wonderful thing about these types of investments is that when people do invest in a life insurance policy, they don't have to be up at night worrying about things. They don't have to get up, you know, hoping, wondering if you know, their entire portfolio is shot and maybe they've got to start investing all over again or go back to work or continuing working for 10 more years. Basically, the shorter the story is, you invest, you set it, and you forget it. You wait for the policy to mature. That's it.
That's exactly right. And that's what I love is they don't have to get up at night and say, oh, my gosh, have we lost any money today? How much did it go down? You know, and remember, when you're in the stock market, you don't control it. Everything in the world controls it.
Yeah.
You know, everything in the world. When you're in a life insurance policy, it's all set. You know, when you buy the policy, you know how much you're going to get. You know how much profit you've got in it. You know how many months it should go. I mean, you know everything reasonable that you ought to know.
Yeah, and you get all that from page 14, which is something that you go over with everybody before they invest in any policy, and that is almost a goldmine of information.
Well, guess what I found out this week?
What?
On the new contracts, it's not page 14 anymore.
What is it now?
It's a back. And it's like five pages from the back, and it's not even numbered. And I didn't know this, you know, because all of our other contracts, it's always been page 14. And this week I was at the office, and again, I was having to look this up for somebody. And so I was looking it up, and I said, it's not on page 14. And so I had to go to the very back and find it, and there it was. And I said, oh, my gosh, I've got to tell everybody, it's not on page 14 on the new contracts.
So are you going to start calling it, instead of page 14, five pages from the back?
Yeah, I'll say it's five pages from the back. Oh, my gosh.
Doesn't sound quite as glamorous, but still, whatever works.
It's not quite as glamorous. I'll figure out a way to make it glamorous, okay? But can you imagine somebody's going to go to page 14 and it's not there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's at the back on those new contracts, those new expensive contracts. So anyway, I want everybody to know where it is in case they call me and say, I can't find it. You know?
So all that information is on what is now known as five pages from the back. And what kind of information can people expect when they go there?
Okay, it's got the same information it did on page 14. It gives you who the person is, their age. It tells you what life insurance company is holding the paper. Tells you the rating of the life insurance company. Tells you the face amount of the policy. Tells you how much you invested, in case you forgot, what your profit is. It tells you if it goes over, what it will cost you, what the premiums are. And then you've signed it saying you have read that page. So it's important that people do that.
You know, I think there's one thing in that list that you were just going down that really sticks out in people's minds. It tells what their profit is going to be. And I think that's important.
That's exactly right.
That's important for people.
It is. And it's just like all these people that had, they were in the Davidson policy. You know, we sent the carrier the spreadsheet where they'd know how much to put in everybody's account to let them know how much they'd made. And then again, when they come in to sign the transfer, we're transferring all that money, everybody that wants to anyway, from Bank of Utah over to Nevada Trust. Because remember, at Nevada Trust, they pay overnight Fed funds every night when you have cash. Bank of Utah does not pay you any cash, ever.
Really?
They don't pay interest. They're not going to do that. Mm. And the other thing is they charge more to me and to the client for handling their money. So that's why we've been spending our time, every time a policy matures, sending it over to their account at Nevada Trust. If they don't have one, we'll create one. But most people do have an account at Nevada Trust.
So any chance to really not only save money but save time as well, you're going to take advantage of it.
That's exactly right. And we have found, like someone said yesterday, well, if I leave it at Bank of Utah, just call me if you get a short-term policy. No, that isn't going to work. You have to have the money at Nevada Trust in order to do this.
Okay.
So if you transfer it over there, we can invest it in record time.
So how do most people set all of this up? Because we're looking at a bunch of different, I guess, piles of money for people to live on. One, you've got living expenses after retirement. Two, you've got investment money that you need to draw from some account someplace. So how do you set all this up so that people don't have to worry about things and it's where they need it to be?
Okay, once they say we're retiring, I say, how much are you going to need per year? If they say $60,000, then we're going to put $120,000 in the account that they can draw off, so that we know that the first 2 years is already covered. And then as the interest comes in, we will replenish it on these policies. Now, let's say they say, Faye, we don't want to draw anything for 4 or 5 years. Then we let the interest accumulate, and we keep rolling it and trying to accumulate more money for them for later in life.
Okay, so everything is all mapped out for not only the immediate future, but for long-term down the road.
That's exactly right, because we're not thinking about just today. We'd be really stupid if we were. We're thinking about 10, 20 years from now.
Okay.
And what they're going to live on, whether they're going to be living on interest. And if you don't have any interest, you're into your principal. If you're into your principal, it may not last.
Yeah, you're into trouble at that point.
That's right. And you don't want to rely on Social Security. It may not even be here in 20 years.
Oh, geez.
I mean, you know.
Boy, I can't tell you how many people are concerned about that.
I know it. And you can't depend on that. You've got to have your own money. You've got to have either an IRA, a custodial account, a 401k that you're going to make into an IRA. You know, you have to have other sources of income.
So if somebody does not have what it takes to get involved in this particular program with the life settlements, they can do other things, but what would you say is the best way for somebody to get to that amount where they need in order to start investing?
Well, if they do an annuity, a lot of people don't understand annuities, but an annuity is a guaranteed contract from a life insurance company. They guarantee your money from the time you put it in till you take it out. And there's some really good annuities right now. Several annuities, are really great, because some of them, after 3 years, you can take your money out. No penalty. Walk away. And that's very unusual.
Wow.
I love the investments inside the annuity. As long as you're investing in an annuity, you're never directly in the stock market. Your money is safe. It's not like going to a brokerage firm and putting your money in there and rolling the dice.
Yeah, and that's
it
exactly
has all
what it
kinds
is.
Of guarantees in it.
It is a total.
And it has bonuses. It has up to 5 or 10% bonuses that you get for doing business with them. They add that to your amount that the policy's worth.
Really?
Yeah. So they add maybe 5%, 2%, or some of them have 10%. And they'll add that to it, and that's just a bonus for being with them. And then you take a payout, or you take 10% every year, which you can do after the first year. Another thing is, if you don't take the 10%, the next year you can take 20% out.
Huh.
Yeah, so it's got all kinds of nifty things. That's the new breed of annuities, and these are called fixed annuities. They're not a variable annuity that has mutual funds in it. If it had mutual funds in it, you could lose your money.
Yeah.
But they do not have mutual funds in them.
Okay, so there are some really good options. If you can't go with the life settlement, and we'll get into some of the qualifications, what it takes to get accredited, what it takes, you know, to be involved in these life settlement types of policies, because there are certain requirements, there are certain guidelines and factors that you need to meet in order to be able to do the program. We'll get into that soon. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. Sometimes we talk about places to go, some place to put on your bucket list, some interesting history about Texas. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about something. We're revisiting something today that I thought was worth doing. You know, we talked about the Marfa Lights. I don't know if it's a year ago or when it was. And, you know, it's a phenomenal out in West Texas. Nobody's ever figured out the Marfa Lights, and it's so interesting. But I found a guy who went out there, and he said he wanted to go out there and find out the mystery, see if, you know, if he could figure out what the Marfa Lights are all about. Well, he goes out there, and, of course, all the hotels are full. He ends up having to go out there in the country and just camp out. And so he pitched a tent, and, of course, it's about 9 miles to the viewing center. And they built that viewing center back in 2003 because people for the last 50 years have been talking about the Marfa Lights. And I've talked about them a lot. I don't understand them any better than anyone else, but I'm interested in it, you know? So this guy found three people with real stories on the Marfa Lights. First person he talked to was Mr. Thornsberg. He's a model ship builder. He was gone a long time, and he has a museum. And he tells the story. When he was 14 years old, he just got his driver's license, he went to see the Marfa Lights. He says, I was going to drive out there, park the car, jump the fence, and start walking. He said, but I didn't get very far. When one of those lights came up, maybe 50 yards away, he said it was huge. He said it was bigger than the courthouse.
Wow.
He said, I couldn't move a single muscle. Then the smaller ones came. Many of them were colored. They flew all around. And he said they went back inside the big one. It went back to the ground. He said, I turned around, got my car, and I've never been there since. Scared him to death. So he's written a booklet about the Marfa Lights and the Marfa Army Airfield. Now, back during World War II, it was out, the Army Airfield was out at Mitchell Flat. And he writes about an operation officer who claims that almost every bomber that took off from the airfield was followed by a Marfa Light up into the sky.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got some real opinions now. We didn't have this before. Now then, he went and talked to Bella Lancaster over in Alpine. She said when she was in eighth grade in 1993, her basketball team was returning from a tournament, and the bus pulled over where they could see the lights. Now, they were off in the distance, and they started coming up close. They were kind of pastel color. They were blue, green, yellow, maybe a pink or a reddish one. They looked like they were playing with each other in the distance. Then they got closer and closer. She said, we freaked out. The girls were scared, and they started screaming. And they said, get us out of here. And then they're saying, oh, they're going to do it again. And the bus driver was going, go, 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 get us out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, all these people have a different story to tell. The people that have lived there a long time. And she's been there a long time. And another lady in 2009 had a close encounter. She said it was about 9:30. And she said there was three or four hundred people out there at the viewing platform. And she was there with her little boy. And she said, I've never seen this before. And, of course, a ball of light starts spiraling toward them really fast. People start running and screaming and falling down trying to get out of there. And she said the light came right up to the front of the viewing center, and it broke into a million white lights.
Really?
She said it was like sparklers on the 4th of July. Just big flashes of white light, and then it was gone. She said it was terrifying.
Wow.
But nobody knows. And this has been there since the 17th. Well, in 1617, Captain Manuel Fesco called it the Lights of God back then in the 1600s.
Wow.
And there's been engineers. There's been every kind of person in the world has tried to figure this out. Some say it's magnetic disturbances, earth-dwelling beings. Nobody knows. But I think the Marfa lights is one of the most spectacular things we've got in Texas because nobody can figure it out.
Have you been out there?
I haven't. I need to go.
Because it sounds fascinating to me.
It is fascinating. And, of course, you know, they have a festival every year. All kinds of things happen. And these lights are still there since 1617.
Do they go on every day, or is it just sporadic?
Well, it sounds like almost every night something happens. And it says they speed up, they slow down. And it seems like if there's a lot of people, they get excited.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, like when you say that they saw the lights, you know, dancing and playing with each other, it almost sounds like these things have some kind of a personality to them.
Well, yeah, and what I can't understand is people have went there from engineers, scientists. Nobody can figure it out.
Wow.
I mean, and it happens all the time.
And they show up and appear, and then they break up into a million pieces.
All the, yeah, all these lights.
Wow.
Uh-huh. It is so- and it scares people. Like in 2009, when that happened, all these people were falling all over themselves to get out of there.
You know,
scared them to death.
I don't know. I'm trying to picture it in my head, and I'm thinking, well, some of it really sounds fascinating. Some of it sounds terrifying. And then in a way, some of it almost seems like it would be peaceful.
Well, and this rider actually saw some of it from a distance. Now, he said it didn't come up real close to him like it had some of these other people that he visited and talked with. But there was light moving. And, you know, it's just amazing that this happens at night.
Wow. I'm wondering if there's, like, something in the ground or some kind of atmospheric conditions that create these things or something.
A lot of people have asked that. That's one of the questions. You know, how do we figure out what it is? And they tell that story when the airfield was there. They said every time a plane took off, the lights went up in the air with the plane. And they swear that's why the airfield was closed, but I don't believe that part, surely. I mean, surely that's a little too far-fetched.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It sounds fascinating to me.
It is fascinating, and I think everybody should go out there and take a look at it and see if anything happens.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I wonder, do people have any pictures? Is it possible to take pictures of these?
Well, I did see some pictures.
Really?
And yeah, but it's hard to say, you know, exactly what you're looking at.
Wow. That is so weird. That's definitely going on the list of things to do and places to go.
Well, yes, I think so. And they just don't know what caused it. Someone said, you know, maybe it's swamp gas, earth lights, ball lightning, evil spirits, good spirits. I mean, and someone said maybe it's just car headlights, and that's not true. They've discounted that completely.
It's too many just to be car lights.
Yeah, and sometimes it appears after sundown on the horizon.
And then they move towards people.
Yes.
Wow, that is it's so weird because if it was a light, if you take a flashlight and you shine it on a wall, you can see. I mean, it's a light that's being shined on a wall. It sounds like these are like self-contained balls of light that are not attached to anything, and they're just floating in the air.
And they said the best chance of seeing the lights, visit it during a new moon to ensure a dark sky.
Really?
Yeah, be sure it's real dark outside.
Interesting. I wonder if it's some kind of particles or something that reflect light from someplace, whether it's the moon or something. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
But
so
it's amazing, you know, that it's been there that long. But it's amazing that it scared people. That's what I like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's
it just
what you
scares
like.
These people out. And that, you know, that girl said they were 14 years old. She said we freaked out.
Yeah.
The whole bus got quiet, and the lights shot off and went away.
Yeah.
But they were saying, go, go, get us out of here.
Yeah. It almost sounds like the way people describe, like, UFOs. Remember back in the 50s and 60s, they said that they would come to town, and then you see these big, huge things, and then, like zoom off and change direction. It almost was what it sounds like, except in little tiny balls of light form.
Well, it says they're unaffected by the strong winds that cross Mitchell Flat, because, you know, out there they have some really strong winds. It says that doesn't affect them.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So nobody really knows, and they've been trying to figure out all these years what these lights are all about, what makes them do this.
Hmm.
You know, come up close to you, go back. That's the scary part, is that they move up close, and then sometimes they just race backwards.
Wow. That is so strange. It almost defies laws of motion.
Yeah, and, you know, people think we're crazy. I mean, we might be a little bit anyway,
so it
might not matter. But I think it's something that everybody should go and see. And see if the lights come out while you're there.
Yeah, a trip to the Marfa Lights is absolutely on the list now. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we're talking about investing in life insurance policies. Really, it's any kind of investing. We're talking, you know... We've talked about how dangerous the stock market can be. So it doesn't have to be life settlements. There are other options, which we talked about a few minutes ago. However, to be involved with the life insurance policy type of investment, there are certain criteria that the investor has to meet. And what does it take to be accredited?
Okay, you have to either make $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your home. The government does not allow us to count anybody's house. You can count your ranch house, your vacation home, vacation condo, all kinds of things. Cattle, horses, you know, your crops that make you money. A lot of things, you know, when you gather in that crop, then that's money. Your 401k, your IRA, your savings accounts, all this can be counted, just not your house.
So how long should somebody leave to do some proper investing, excluding other options, excluding Wall Street? Say somebody wanted to come in and just start with their very first investment ever with a life settlement, and they wanted to get ready for retirement. How long do you recommend the average person, and I know it changes, you know, depending on where people are starting and where they want to end up, but for an average person, what would you recommend as far as a length of time to do this type of a thing?
Well, they should stay with the program once they start, but they should stay a minimum of 7 to 10 years where they be sure they've got, you know, that interest all the time coming in. And then they can kind of tell where they're at and if they're going to need more interest or less interest, and make sure they're not going to get in their principal. If you can keep from getting in your principal in the early years, you're going to be all right. But if you're already into your principal in the third or fourth year, you're probably not going to have enough money.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think in today's world, you know, $60,000 a year is probably the minimum that you need.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to need $100,000 to $150,000 a year. So you've got to keep your interest, I think, in my opinion, going all the time. Why would you quit getting interest just because you've retired?
Yeah, exactly. And we should also note that when we say, you know, around, you know, $60,000 a year minimum to live on, we're talking about that's just living. That's, you know, because you don't want to have any debt. You don't want to, your house has got to be paid off. Car's got to be paid off. That's all those things taken care of before you get to retirement.
And quit making loans. I've got some people that have come to me and they wanted to make a loan to somebody. And I said, frankly, you can't afford it. You've just barely got enough to take care of yourself. Tell them that I said you can't make loans.
do they think that loaning money and getting paid back with interest is a revenue stream, or what's the approach?
They weren't going to get any interest.
Ah!
A friend needed money, and I'm telling you, we need to love our friends. But if you've got a lot of money, sure, loan them the money. You may never get it back. That's okay. But if you've got a small amount of money, you can't afford to give it to them. In other words, you're going to have to do without if you do it.
So
it's kind of like people that loan their husband the money out of their 401k. When it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, anything we could say, you've given it to him, it's gone, and you just have to make it work a different way.
Be nice to your friends, but not that nice.
Don't be that nice.
So this is all sounding really, really great. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, are thinking, wow, you know, geez, a life settlement might be the way to go. Much more conservative, a lot less risk. But there are three major risks that people need to know about when they go in.
That's right. The biggest risk is it could go over. And we have probably 10 policies right now that have went over. And they're still going to get paid. They're still going to get their interest, but it has went over. The Davidson policy went over, but it has paid well. They've made a lot of money on it, so it didn't really affect them. So that is your biggest risk. If you can't stand the risk of it going over, don't do it. But if you're accredited, you ought to be able to stand the risk.
Now, if it goes over, it goes over and people have to pay premiums, it's important to stress that a premium payment does not mean that your entire profit is wiped out. It's nowhere near it. It's a very small percentage.
It is a small percentage. And we have some that were high, but we've tried to eliminate all those that had high premiums. If they have high premium now, it's usually an old one that we just haven't gotten rid of yet, that we're, you know, trying to. But the nice things about it is, you know, the money is in a life insurance policy. I can't stress that enough. It's not in the stock market. It's not in something that you could lose, because the life insurance company, unless they go broke, your money is right there in that life insurance policy.
Yeah.
The other thing, your second thing is, it is not liquid during the time it's invested. So if you needed $100,000, you couldn't get it right that minute. You'd have to wait till the policy matured. And then the third thing is if a life insurance company ever went under. And that's the smallest risk of all, because someone's always in the doorway wanting to buy your company. That's just the way it is.
There's just too much money.
It's so much money. The premium income on these life insurance companies is monstrous. It is so much you wouldn't believe.
So, you know, when you're talking about risk number one with the policies going over and people may have to pay a premium, the great thing about this type of investment is if that was to happen, people know before they even sign the contract, they already know ahead of time that if it does go over, they know what the premiums are going to be. So there's no surprises.
That's right. There is no surprises. They know everything about the policy in advance, okay?
And so when people look at that, I'm sure that that they say, well, geez, you know, what if this goes over? And I know what you're going to say when I say this, but what if this goes over by 20 years?
Then we're in the wrong business.
That's why you pick life insurance policies of people who have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That's exactly the main reason, is to lessen the odds of that, because, you know, you're talking about these policies where the policyholder has a life expectancy of, you know, 12, 15, 24 months, something like that. So you have a general time frame to work with. It's not like it's going to go over 20 years. It's just I suppose it could happen by some miracle, but I'm willing to bet it probably never has, and the odds are so low. Yeah, I mean, when they give these life expectancies and they say 24 months, you know, and I picked this up on based on what you said over all these years, you know that when they say 24 months, it's probably actually a little bit less.
Yes, I think so. You know, I think that when we're doing this, you know, the odds of it working perfectly are 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay? In other words, half the policies are going to come in early. And then the others, part of them will come in on time, and then part of them will be late. It's always that way. They're not all going to be early. We'd all like for them to be early.
Sure.
Yeah. But we can't all be early. But a lot of them were early this year. And then we had several that were late that did come in. And they all paid the same. They all paid good.
And the other thing to note is that when it does come in early, say you have a 24-month policy, which means that the doctors expect that the policyholder will probably pass away within 24 months. And so if they are a little bit more conservative, say, and the person actually the policy matures in half the time, they get the full profit. They just get it a lot quicker.
They just get it early. If it comes in on time, it's the same. They get their profit. If it comes in late, they're still going to get their profit. And that's all on page 14, the amount of money they're going to receive. It's right there. If they forget, all they have to do is look at it and see.
And this is all part of a long-term plan to not only get ready for retirement, but once you're at retirement, you want to keep your money growing. You keep it growing as conservatively as possible, and you don't want to ruin your retirement by getting up in the middle of the night, you know, seeing if you still have any money left. You don't have to do that with this. And so this is part of a long-term plan. It's not a come in, invest one time, and then get out and go ahead and retire and travel the world. It's not that at all. This is part of a plan, and the biggest hurdle with this type of a plan is getting started. And so you say this all the time, that people just plain old procrastinate.
People procrastinate till sometimes I'm laughing about it. Men procrastinate worse than women. Women will get something done, but men do procrastinate all the time. They procrastinate a lot.
So when people come to see you for the first time and they've been putting it off, well, it's not fun. I have other things to do. I don't want to take the time. It's high maintenance, blah, blah, blah. Do you find that there has been some kind of an event that has caused them to actually get up and get the ball rolling?
Well, I think sometimes when they see what's happening in the world and in the stock market, up and down, and they're holding their breath on it, I think sometimes they say, you know, we need to be more conservative. You know, we're 55 years old. We need to do something instead of letting it go like it is.
Yeah. And I want to stress real quick before you go that this whole process is a very low maintenance type of thing. People come in, they get the accounts set up at the beginning, and then after that, they don't have to come in, or they can if they want to, or, you know, you do a lot of this via email. If a policy, you know, comes in 6 months later, hey, person X, I think you would be great for this policy. Do you want in or out? They basically email, yes, I want in, and then you put them in, and then they just wait for the policy mature and get paid. That may be a little bit oversimplified, but that's basically how it is. It doesn't take a lot of day-to-day effort. It's not weekly or monthly or yearly. There's not all this business that has to be done. You get it set up, and then from there on out, they just wait for policies and get paid.
And there's not any expense involved. There's not this huge monthly expense. With some companies and in the stock market, you know, there's sometimes there's a 1-2% expense every month, yeah. And there's not. And if they're in mutual funds, there's an expense to that, and there's not with this. So, you know, I think it's a lot easier to maintain your money.
So people can save money and make money at the same time.
I think so.
Okay, perfect. Well, Faye, for somebody who wants to come see you maybe next week or the week after, they're thinking about it, but they want to come in well-informed so they can ask questions, they can get involved on the spot, or they can just get information, talk to you about it, see if it's a good fit. What types of things, what should they come in with, you know, to get prepared?
They should bring a copy of their statement, whatever they're in, and let's look at it. If it's old annuities, if it's a variable annuity, if it's something they've had 30 years, if it's old accounts, lots of times, every time people transfer companies, they don't always take those old 401s with them. So they can bring in their old 401 statements or their new 401 statement or whatever they have, and let's look at it and see what they want to do.
If a husband and wife wanted to do something like this together, do they both need to come see you, or can one come see
yes,
you?
Yes, and... no, if they're both going to do it, they both need to come in.
Okay. Perfect. And one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.